Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Want to know the faith within the faith? My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you all today. Thanks for joining me. I'm privileged to have my guest at this time. Gia Chacon. Gia is the founder and president of a great organization called For the Martyrs. So I'm excited to talk to her and about her work today. Gia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for giving a platform to the plight of the persecuted Christians.
No, it is. It's my pleasure. It's something close to my heart, and I think here in the U.S., we don't hear enough about it, nearly enough. So if you could, give us... a brief background about you and why you started this organization.
Absolutely. So in 2017, I began working with my grandmother's nonprofit organization, Hesed for Humanity, which focuses on international crisis relief. And much of the work that we did was in Egypt with the persecuted church and also with the Iraqi and Syrian refugees who were living in Jordan. So it was really... my firsthand experience traveling to Egypt and witnessing for the first time in my adult life that Christians were suffering for their faith. And it wasn't just the older generation, but it was young people just like me who were willing to risk everything for the sake of the gospel, that initiated my heart for the persecuted and deeply inspired my own faith life and caused me to be even more on fire for the Lord, the witness of the persecuted. And then traveling to the Iraqi and Syrian refugees, being able to sit with them, hear their stories, hear the atrocities they faced because of their faith, and then taking those experiences, coming back to the West and having conversations in my community of faith, and even with my friends, I realized that this issue of Christian persecution is widely ignored by the media, and often untalked about and unknown within our communities of faith in the West. So that inspired me to do something to make a difference in the life of the persecuted. And I thought, what can we do here? What do we have the power to do as American Christians? And the Lord laid it on my heart to found For the Martyrs, to raise awareness about the crisis of Christian persecution, advocate for religious freedom, and provide aid to suffering Christians. And through that, hold a March for the Martyrs, which was held on September 5th in Long Beach, California, and was the first march in United States history to stand in solidarity with the persecuted church.
So how did the march go?
It was amazing. We had hundreds of Christians across all denominations come together and unify around this issue. We raised awareness. We showed our solidarity by marching through downtown Long Beach. And we concluded with a conference about religious freedom with keynote speaker Sean Foyt. And we also prayed for the persecuted. And it was just a powerful experience to see so many Christians, again, across all denominations, come together, unified around this issue, and praying and being a voice for our brothers and sisters who suffer for the faith.
So what does your organization do to help those that are being persecuted?
Well, first and foremost, we raise awareness. We believe that knowledge inspires action. And the more people who are aware of the issue of Christian persecution, the more that can be done to aid the suffering faithful. We also provide aid to suffering Christians. We have grocery programs for refugees living in Jordan. We have provided aid to Christians in Africa. And we also have a Bible smuggling fund where we raise money to bring Bibles to Christians who are living in restricted nations. And we advocate for religious freedom. So we plead the plight of the persecuted. And our prayer is that as again, as the awareness rises, that more will be done to aid the suffering faithful, and also more can be done to put pressure on international governments to protect Christians who are suffering.
Now, there's a lot of countries out there that are guilty of persecution. What are some of those top ones out there? And maybe some that maybe we never even heard of.
Yes. Yeah, so North Korea right now is the most dangerous place to be a Christian. And what a lot of people, we hear a lot about Islamic extremism persecuting Christians when we hear of, you know, what happened with ISIS and the genocide of Christians in Iraq and Syria. And also what's going on in Nigeria. There's a Christian genocide that's being fueled by Islamic extremism. But oftentimes we don't hear about what is going on in communist countries and countries that suffer from extreme nationalism. Christians in North Korea are suffering risk of imprisonment, not just from them for themselves, but also for their family and their friends if they're caught with even a page of the Bible. And it's actually illegal to say God in referring to Jesus in North Korea. So they can be executed on the spot and forced into imprisonment and labor camps for their friends, their family, and for themselves. So it's very dangerous to be a Christian in North Korea. And also in China, we've seen an increase of Christian persecution in the last few years. And what's amazing about the church in China is that despite how persecuted they are, the church is growing. So we've seen also an increase of people coming to the faith and the underground church expanding, which is beautiful to see, but they're facing so much persecution, again, imprisonment, loss of their businesses, homes, et cetera, because of their faith in Christ.
Why do you think here in the U.S. that we don't hear more about this?
To be quite honest with you, I think that the issue of Christian persecution is often politicized, and to talk about Christian suffering is seen as politically incorrect. We have a notion here in America that Christians do not suffer for their faith, when in reality, one third of the world faces religious oppression, and an overwhelming 80% of the oppressed are Christian. So Christians are the most persecuted group, and I think because of this idea of political correctness, this issue is out of media headlines and often not talked about within our communities of faith.
Now, I've heard other interviews that you've given. You've given some stats about how Christian persecution has increased. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. So as I said, Christian persecution has risen over 20% in the past 2 years. And we spoke earlier about what's happening in Nigeria. So in just 5 years, we've seen a radical spike, a huge incline in Christian persecution that's being fueled by Islamic extremism. So we've seen over 7,000 Christians who have been slaughtered in Nigeria. And this is shocking because Nigeria is a majority Christian country. So Christians, even in a majority Christian country, are being targeted and executed for their faith. But this, again, in China, we've seen the spike of Christian persecution. And really, to break it down, Christian persecution is fueled by two main factors. First, we have Islamic extremism, so radical ideologies throughout the Middle East, and it's going into parts of Africa as well. And then we have extreme nationalism, where it's illegal to worship a god. In places such as North Korea, you have to worship the president of the state, or we have countries that put sanctions or mandates on what the churches are allowed to say, do, and how they're allowed to worship. And this crisis continues to rise every single year. And I believe it's also because it's not being talked about enough. If more people were aware that Christians are suffering, more could be done to put pressure on these governments to protect the Christians in their nations.
Yeah, every time a news article comes across my social media page, there's crickets in the media about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As far as us in the U.S. go, some people have the notion that there's no persecution here. Is that true or false?
I wouldn't say that there's no persecution here, but of course, when we're comparing the United States to what happened in Iraq and Syria, to compare the two seems like we can't do that, right? But we can look at what's happening and what has happened even with a pandemic across the United States when we have leaders of Marxist organizations who are calling for attacks on Christian property and the destruction of Christian icons in the names of social justice, right? Under the guise of social justice, they're calling for these attacks on Christianity. And so we've seen a spike. We had in churches burned and confirmed arson across the United States. We've had restrictions on our worship. We've had unfair restrictions placed on pastors and church leaders for trying to hold outdoor services in line with the COVID restrictions, but still they were fined unjustly. So we are in a time where it is so important as the body of Christ to stand up to these injustices that we're facing and the intimidation that we're seeing in our own country. Because what happens is it goes slowly and then suddenly. And I was speaking with a woman who grew up under the Lithuanian Soviet Republic. And she told me that what had happened, that what she's seeing happen across the United States is eerily similar to what happened during the Soviet occupation of Lithuania. Churches closed, restrictions on worship, and pastors facing jail time and fines for going against state mandates. So all of this is to say, now more than ever, we need the body of Christ in America to be strong in their faith, to not fear the intimidation that we're facing, and to fight to keep our religious freedom that we have in the United States.
So what can we do as the body of Christ to fight for that freedom?
We absolutely need to raise our voice. You know, it's when we have Christians who are in fear of being politically incorrect, that and we choose silence over standing up for our faith. You know, this freedom that we have in America was given to us by God. Freedom itself is a gift from God. And especially in the United States, we're a country that was founded by people who were seeking religious freedom, right? They were fleeing from their countries and seeking to establish more freedom, especially to worship the Lord. So we need to stand up. We need to raise our voice. We can sign petitions. We can put, we can raise our voice and advocate on behalf of the church in the West, but we cannot choose silence. We cannot choose apathy. It's time to be strong and to use your voice and advocate for the church in the West.
Now, you had the March for the Martyrs on September 5th, and I'm glad to hear that it went well. What other events do you have coming up in the future?
Well, in 2021, we will be hosting a March for the Martyrs on the East Coast. So last year we did a West Coast one, and we will be bringing the March East Coast. We haven't officially released the location yet, but a little sneak peek, we are looking at DC. So if you're on the East Coast, you can look forward to that. But also we continue to do our projects throughout the year. We continue to support the persecuted members of the body of Christ through aid, advocacy, and awareness. So connect with us if you would like to know more about how you can get involved in what we're doing through For the Martyrs. You can visit our website, forthemartyrs.com, and connect with us on social media at March for the Martyrs.
Now, what can we do as individuals? I know we have your website. You mentioned the things we can do. What can we do individually to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who are suffering every day for their faith?
I would say never underestimate the power of your voice. Use your platform and your influence. Some of us may think this issue is so big. How can I, as one person, make a difference? What can I do? Is my voice really making a difference? But imagine if we all shared about the crisis of Christian persecution and we used our social media, we used our influence within our communities of faith to raise awareness about the suffering of Christians in these nations. And throughout all of my travels, we bring, you know, sometimes we bring food, we bring medical aid, and we bring relief to suffering Christians who have suffered because of their faith. And we'll always ask them, what is the greatest need? And they will almost always reply these two things. First, they will say, please continue to pray for us. So it is so important that we are praying and making a note to pray for the persecuted when we are, not just in our communities of faith, but also in our personal prayer time to pray for the persecuted. And secondly, they will almost always say, thank you for remembering my suffering. Thank you for knowing that we are being persecuted. So don't underestimate the power of you using your platform and your voice to raise more awareness about this crisis.
Again, the website is forthemartyrs.com. And we have Gia, the founder of this great organization. Gia, before I let you go to enjoy the rest of your Tuesday afternoon, any parting words for listeners out there?
Yes, I would just encourage, again, the body of Christ in America. Now is the time to be strong in your faith. Stand up. Don't be afraid. And just as the persecuted need our voice and our platform, we need the strength, the encouragement, and the witness of the persecuted members of the body of Christ and the persecuted church. So be bold and don't underestimate the power of your voice.
Great. Again, check out the website. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. They need it. Let's stand in solidarity with them. Let's give all the support we can get. Gia, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.